I know you have a lot of questions. Most people do. So did I. Surprised? Put yourself in my place. There I was, a 16-year-old girl, standing in the kitchen, cooking dinner, all by myself, when suddenly, a light, brighter than a thousand suns, burst in my eyes. The light, it dimmed a little. I could just make out the figure of a man. It was terrifying. "You are most blessed among women," he said. "Me? Why?" "You will become pregnant with a son, and his name will be called Yahweh is Salvation, because he will save his people from their sins." I could hardly speak. Was this really happening? How could any of this be true for me? How can I become pregnant? I've never known a man. "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you." What? Overshadow me? That doesn't make sense. What does that even mean? I don't understand. With God, nothing will be impossible, even if you don't understand. Pregnant. That's a big word for a young girl who's not married, standing in the kitchen all by herself. It means adulteress in the eyes of the rabbi. It means divorce in the mouth of Joseph. It means the son that I'm going to be raised will be called a bastard. It means never getting married, at least not to a good man. It means no more temple, no more synagogue, no rabbi to comfort me, no good teacher to teach me, no priest to pronounce me clean. Pregnant like this? No, this was not good news. It would mean being rejected by my family and my friends, driven out to live in the country with distant relatives, if I was lucky. But more than likely, I'd be dragged out into the streets and stoned, my father leading the way. No. Faith did not come to me in that moment. Fear. Fear always comes before faith, or else it wouldn't be faith. Where did I find the courage? I didn't. It found me when I remembered our mother Eve. She forgot that God is good. And when things happen to us, whether by our own choices or the choices of others, that's when we doubt. That is when we doubt that God is good. And when the angel came to me, my fear nearly killed me. But I remembered. God is good. And with God, nothing will be impossible. He can even give faith to a confused young girl. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your word. And then he left. It was almost like a dream. Joseph? Oh. Joseph. Can you imagine what I put him through? Joseph? I've had a vision. Yeah. An angel came to me. He said, I'm going to have a baby. No. But it doesn't make sense to me either. No, I swear to you, I never. Joseph. Joseph. Joseph, come back. That poor man. He must have hated me in that moment. And himself, too. But what would you do? Your sister, your cousin comes to you, and she tells you she's pregnant. By God. With the Messiah? Would you believe her? Could you? It would take an angel to convince you. Maybe more than one. And if it's your fiancé who tells you she's pregnant. Joseph's family must have thought we'd been immoral. Or that he was an old fool. But, thankfully, an angel came to him too. In a dream. He had more faith than I did. More strength too. I never would have made it without him. Especially the night that Jesus was born. I'll never forget the pride in Joseph's eyes when he held him up to me for the first time. Mary, behold your son. My child was naked and crying and covered in birth water and blood. I took him into my arms. I cleaned him. I wrapped him tightly in strips of cloth. There. You go ahead and eat. That's what I think it is. Joseph, get me something to clean him with. I'm going to take care of you. I am never going to let anyone hurt you. I won't let a single curl of your hair fall to the ground. I'll never let you go. I would die for you. My heart turns over within me. All my compassions are stirred. When Israel was young, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. I am the Who taught every hymn to walk? I am the one who took him in my arm. Took him in my arms. Yes, dirty diapers. Even him. You see, he was a child, just like any other child. The angel called him the Son of God, but we just called him Son. He called himself the Bread of Life, but I baked his bread. I used to tear it in little pieces, dip it in milk, and feed it to him when he got his first teeth. That night, when Jesus was betrayed in the garden, he wept. But I remember. Jesus, Jesus, what's wrong? Ah, you've skinned your knees all up. Come here, let me wipe the blood off for you. Ah, there, it's not so bad, is it? Ah, I know it hurts. It hurts. It's not. Oh! Oh, don't cry. Don't cry. I'll hold you till it stops hurting. We never talked about the angel again after that, or what he said. Life got in the way of our questions. I went to help my cousin Elizabeth with her pregnancy. She understood. She believed me. My parents never did. When Caesar called for the census, Joseph and I went to Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. We stayed there for a few years. And then we had to flee to Egypt as refugees. We stayed there for another few years until it was safe to come back home to Nazareth. What did we do? We lived. Joseph worked. I cooked. I cleaned. We had more babies. Was it hard to be the mother of Jesus? Hey, little boys, they're all dirty faces and slingshots, you know. But he wasn't harder than any of my other boys. In some ways, not any easier. To me, he was giggles and mud puddles and snuggles under the blankets when thunder roared overhead. Jesus? Jesus? Jesus, are you up in that tree? Why are you up in that tree so high up? I can't see you. It's too dark. Come down. Come down right now. Jesus? Ah! Oh, don't scare me like that, you little scamp. And don't you dare laugh, Joseph. You'll only encourage him. Now, both of you, go home and get to supper. It's cold. Go, go. Oh. So, no. He was just Jesus to me, my firstborn son. And the angel, that had been a long time ago. If he was Messiah, he didn't act like one. He wasn't particularly tall or strong or handsome. He wasn't a soldier. He wasn't a prophet. No miracles, that's for sure. He was kind, gentle, caring, very intelligent, but not a bragger. He was a hard worker in Joseph's shop. In all ways, an ideal son, but Messiah, that he was not. But still, there were moments. I remember when he was 12 years old, our family joined several other families to go on the pilgrimage to celebrate the feast in Jerusalem. It was a caravan, a traveling party of sorts. And we all cooked together, we ate together, everybody watched everybody else's children. And so when the feast was over and we were traveling home, Joseph and I assumed that Jesus was with another family. And the day went by, we couldn't find him, we became concerned. Oh, it was so embarrassing. We had to leave the caravan and go back to Jerusalem and look for Jesus. We searched high and low for 3 days. Everyone we came across, "Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus?" Until, thank God, finally we found him sitting in the temple with the teachers of the law. He was discussing the scriptures with them, and everyone was so impressed with how intelligent he was. But to me, I was furious. "Jesus, why have you treated us this way? Your father and I have been looking everywhere for you. We had no idea where you were. What were you thinking?" Jesus just looked up at us and said, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" We had no idea what he was talking about. We had forgotten. We were humiliated. That we were confused. But never again did Jesus do anything to embarrass his father Joseph in that way. Messiah, I confess, I had given up on the idea until Joseph, he became ill. And when it became clear that he was going to die, I took Jesus aside privately. I said to him, "Jesus, if you are indeed Messiah, then heal my husband and your father." I gathered his siblings. We stood around the bed and watched as Jesus knelt down. He whispered something in Joseph's ear, kissed his head. Joseph smiled, closed his eyes, and never woke up. But Joseph had been a good father to Jesus. He was a good father to all of his children. In 30 years, he never saw a single miracle from him. While Jesus was around Joseph, and Joseph was alive, He never made a name for himself. He never did anything to bring our house honor. He never gave us a daughter-in-law or a grandchild. And for 30 years, we waited for any sign that he was Messiah. And we got none. But 6 months after Joseph died, my cousin invited us to his son's wedding feast. "Oh, Jesus, you're here finally. Where were you? Come, come, sit down next to me. Andrew, James, good to see you. Peter. Such a banquet, so many people. My cousin must be so proud. Here, try the lamb. Can you taste the garlic and the bread from the oven? It's still warm. Such a wedding. I can just imagine what the bride must be feeling. Such a beautiful bride. So young. Not as young as when I had you, Jesus, but young. You remember her, don't you? Of course you do. She had quite the crush on you growing up. Such a beauty, that one. Have some wine. It isn't very good. I wonder what she must be feeling. In just a few short hours, the groom's father will light the torches and walk with the village singing and dancing back to his house. I saw the room that the groom built onto the house. Such a room. It could hold 10 people. I bet she's there now, arranging and rearranging the pillows. You want everything to be perfect on your wedding day. Such a day. My cousin, he seems upset. I hope nothing is wrong. Excuse me? What is the matter? No wine? That's not possible. There's more family. There's more guests coming. My poor cousin, he's going to be humiliated. Jesus, you must do something quickly. What? Not your time? Not his time? I've waited 30 years. What does he mean, not his time? What time is it? What time is it? Whatever he says to you, do it. Jesus, do something. I look back now and I feel so ashamed. I humiliated him in front of the servants and his friends. He should have rebuked me or walked away, but you know the story. He surprised all of us. Me, most of all. He turned the water into wine. You should have seen the joy that spread across my cousin's face. And mine too. Because in that moment, I knew all of that doubt, all of that waiting, all of that shame, it hadn't been for nothing. I, like everyone else, thought that this was the beginning of his promised kingdom. Jesus began preaching and healing the sick and the blind. He was even casting out demons. His turn was coming. And so was mine. He was going to be the king of Israel. And I was going to be his honored mother. And so I became concerned when he started talking about his coming death. The priests called what he was saying blasphemy. Others were saying that he had a demon. Had my son lost his mind? And so I gathered his brothers and sisters, and we went to find him at the house where he was teaching. It was so crowded inside and out, but I could see him through the doorway. And I sent word that we wanted to talk with him. He looked up, looked out at the crowd, and said, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Those who do the will of my Father in heaven." Not his mother. Not his brothers. How could he say that to me? But no, he wasn't trying to hurt me. Just the opposite. His brothers, they stormed off and never followed him again while he was alive, but I stayed. I followed him. I had to. Because if I wasn't his mother, then he wasn't my son. And if he wasn't my son, then who was he? And that's why I followed him. All the way to the cross. Yes. I was there. John took me. The Romans. They made a sign. It said, King of the Jews. And they nailed it over his head. His head. I used to run my fingers through his hair. Matted in his blood. My blood. I used to kiss his forehead. And now it was punctured with thorns. His hands. They were grasping at the nails. And it reminded me of when he was little. And he would clutch my hand because he was frightened in the dark. He was thirsty. I can't give him a drink. He's dying. I can't save him. I wasn't supposed to. To make sure he was dead, the soldiers speared him, and water and blood came down on the ground. I didn't tell you this before, but 8 days after Jesus was born, we took him to the temple to be circumcised. And an old man named Simeon, he prophesied over him. He said, "This child will be for the fall and rising of many, that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." And to me, he said, "A sword will pierce your own soul also." When they took him off the cross, they put his body in my arms. My heart turns over within me. All my compassions are stirred. When Israel was young, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. I am the one who taught Ephraim to walk. I am the one who took him in my arms. Took him in my arms. But it was then that I knew. I understood. At the wedding, Jesus turned water into wine. And at the Passover, he turned wine into blood. And on that day, on that terrible day, my son became my savior.
Thank you.